Today on Maine Calling, Maine filmmakers in action. Maine is a pretty photogenic place. It is also filled with creative, independent-minded people. Put those ingredients together, and what do you get? Well, many things, but one of them is fresh indie films, several of which will be shown this coming week at the Maine International Film Festival. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will meet a few of the directors whose films will be on the silver screen in Waterville. We'll learn about their films, find out what motivates them to make films in and about Maine, and discuss their vision of the future of filmmaking in Maine. What's your favorite film set in Maine or made by a local filmmaker? Maine Calling is just ahead.
Support for Maine Calling comes from Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure throughout Maine. Now open in Bangor, Waterville, and Augusta. And by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal downeast communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Today marks the beginning of the Maine International Film Festival. This year, the festival features 22 Maine-based films. Today, we will meet some of the filmmakers behind a few of those films and find out what inspires them. Joining me for the hour, Arabella Oz, who is the director of the film Mallory's Ghost, Ricky Layton, director of Down East Hardcore, and Katie Azleton, director of Their Town, which is the Maine International Film Festival's opening night film. We invite you to join the conversation. What do you want to know about filmmaking in Maine? Are you an aspiring filmmaker? Are you looking for more Maine films to watch? You can send us a brief email, talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Welcome to all of you and congratulations to all of you. Katie, I just mentioned that Their Town kicks off the festival tonight. It is set in Bangor, right? Tell me about the film and how you got the idea for the story.
Yeah, we're so excited to start this festival off. Their Town is a really sweet story about two teenagers really seeing each other and being seen for the first time. They come from different ends of the social spectrum, and they're thrown together because of a school play. And they spend one evening walking around the streets of Bangor, connecting and revealing things about themselves. It's a sort of a Before Sunrise esque movie for the young audience. And we shot it in Bangor. I am from down east, so Ricky, I'm very excited for your documentary. I'm from Millbridge, and Bangor was always the big city for us, the destination to get to a metropolis. Then funnily enough, when we were writing this story while my husband wrote the script, he was looking for a good small town, and he ended up in Bangor. And it served as the most beautiful backdrop to tell this story.
And Katie, did I read that it's your daughter playing the lead?
My daughter, Aura, plays the lead, yeah.
Oh my gosh, that must have been quite an experience for you to direct your daughter in your home state.
It was trippy, but it was a real family affair. My husband, like I said, wrote the movie. My daughter stars in it. My sister, Mary Budd, who's a Bangor local, produced the film. And it was quite lovely.
Wow. Well, so exciting for tonight. Ricky, welcome back to Maine Calling. The last time we talked, it was about your film Candlepin, the documentary. So really looking forward to your new one. This new film, Down East Hardcore, is also a documentary, correct?
Yes, yeah. It's a feature length this time. I was kind of burned out a little bit after Candlepin. I needed a break, and my buddy Sam was like, you know what'd make a good film? The Cave. And I just looked at him, and I was like, oh, man. because I just knew right away, like, I had to do it. I met with Kathy, who is the film subject. She was this wonderful woman who's from Bucksport, Maine. Her whole life she's lived there. She took in these kids. She was an occupational therapy assistant in schools, noticed the troubled kids had a hard time in class. They were really into music. So she opened up her own music venue in her barn in the woods of Bucksport. And it took off. It developed a huge scene there. Some really famous bands like Biohazard, Agnostic Front came through and played there. And the real story is about her impact in the community, what we call Cave Kids, that, you know, she forever changed their lives with the safe space that she provided.
Well, we have a clip of the trailer. Let's play that.
I just really wanted the kids to have a place to call home and feel like they could be anything they wanted to be.
When you're trying to discover yourself, that just somebody older treats you like you're cool. And I think that she gave that to a bunch of people.
It made me who I am. It was life-changing.
We had something so good, and it was filled with a soundtrack no one could ever have imagined.
It was do or die. I was all in.
Ricky, it sounds pretty emotional for a film about hard rock.
Yeah, and that's, you know, those are some of the barriers we're trying to tackle too, right? It's, you know, very easy to judge a book by its cover, but I made a lot of really big, burly, tattooed men cry. So I think that that is a testament to Kathy's impact on them and, you know, the support that she provided.
Arabella, I understand that your film, Arabella's Ghost, was filmed in your grandparents' home. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's funny. I play Mallory. It's called Mallory's Ghost.
Excuse me. It's Mallory's Ghost. I know that.
I still confuse myself for Mallory all the time.
Mallory's Ghost.
Yeah, we had access to this house, which I begged my grandparents to use. And I ended up kind of writing the script around it. The house is very enchanting. It's on the Casco Bay. And it's like, it's very spooky, but very beautiful and magical. So I had this idea for a long time about a love triangle between a couple and a ghost. And the ghost is the boyfriend's ex-girlfriend. And they have this kind of very funny, very tortured journey about jealousy. So I wrote it to take place in the house and convinced my grandparents somehow to let me film there. And then ended up, I didn't know anyone in the main film scene. So I just Googled like main based cinematographer and found this cinematographer, Jeff Greachy, who is amazing. And he, luckily the film scene around Portland is very tight and he just brought this whole incredible crew along with him. So it worked out really beautifully and kind of serendipitously that I now feel more connected kind of to that film scene than I do where I live, which is in New Jersey.
Well, we're going to have a clip from the film. Set it up for us.
So the clip takes place right after Mallory learns. So Mallory's boyfriend, Sam, takes her on this kind of creative retreat to this beautiful place in Maine. And as soon as she gets there, she learns that he used to bring his ex-girlfriend there as well. And his ex-girlfriend is this beautiful, sexy, creative bombshell. And so she's kind of tortured right off the bat by like, what was your experience like here with her? What was your relationship like? So this clip takes place right after she learns that he used to go to that same house with his ex-girlfriend.
Okay. Maybe you could tell me, how heartbroken were you?
What?
Just tell me.
What is it? I don't even understand the question.
Like on a scale from like crying
a
to
scale?
Suicide.
A heartbreak
how
scale?
8.4. It's important for
4,
me to know.
8.4? Yeah.
That's quite high.
Well.
Jeez, okay. You never told me that.
Can we come to bed now?
Do you think they changed the sheets?
From 3 years ago? Yes, I think she changed the sheets.
I'm actually not very tired.
Are you serious?
I'm seriously not tired.
Arabella, I have to say your grandparents' house films beautifully, at least that one scene. What was their reaction?
Oh, they love being a part of the journey and I love taking back to them. You know, people often ask questions about the house. It's kind of a character in the film. So I've really enjoyed coming back to them and telling them everyone's reaction to the home, because it's beautiful, and they really treasure this house a lot, so it feels good. And we didn't burn it down, so I'm proud of that also.
Well, joining us now is Mike Perreault, who is the executive director of the Maine Film Center and Maine International Film Festival. Mike, I know this is an extraordinarily busy day for you as it's opening night. So thank you for taking a moment to call in.
I wouldn't be anywhere else.
Well, you know, one thing I noticed that both this year and last year, the Maine International Film Festival, MIFF, featured a lot of Maine films. And I'm wondering if it's because you've changed your focus, or is it because you're just seeing more good films made in Maine?
I think both things are true. One of the things that I'm really excited about is this is our largest festival ever. We have 112 films coming up over the next 10 days, representing 44 countries. And what I'm especially proud about is that 22 of those films were made right here in Maine, including our opening night film and including Down East Hardcore. So can't wait to meet you, Ricky, and Mallory's Ghost and Arabella as well. And then also In Transit, which is directed by Jacqueline Bethany. And all of those Made in Maine films will be eligible for the Tourmaline Prize as well, which is a juried competition. It's the only one that we have, and we do that to celebrate the work that's produced here in the state.
What are you noticing about the variety of films being made by Maine filmmakers right now, or films that are set in Maine? Are there trends?
Every year is different, and the number of films that we see produced in Maine every year are so diverse in terms of genre, in terms of locations around the state, in terms of the filmmakers' own backgrounds, whether they're Mainers or not. And I think that's really exciting because Maine's landscapes really inspire storytelling, and it's a pleasure and an honor to see them and to screen them every year. So I hope filmmakers will take notice of the incredible work that's being produced here and continue to take advantage of the tax incentives as well and keep working in Maine.
Well, since we have you on the phone, tell us more about the festival. What can people expect? What are you excited about? We should probably take a beat to say that it is in Waterville. Are many of the shows already sold out?
Yeah, we have several screenings that are sold out, but there's still plenty of room. So take a look at our website, miff.org, and explore the gigantic program that we have in store for you. I'm really excited about also three guests that we're going to be honoring with a legendary Maine Moose, which is the MIFF Achievement Award. And it's like the Oscar, but for Maine. And they're statuettes that are made in the likeness of the artist that we're going to be honoring. So we'll be celebrating the work of Christine Vachon, who is a totally legendary independent film producer whose works have lifted the careers of several directors and filmmakers. We'll be celebrating her on Sunday the 12th with Past Lives at the Waterville Opera House. Then we have Alan Rudolph, who's a totally wonderful director of cult films from the 70s and 80s, and we'll be celebrating him with Choose Me on Tuesday the 14th at the Opera House. And then Mike Kaplan, who's the producer of The Whales of August, which I think many people from Maine have seen at least once, if not several times, on Thursday the 16th. And so we have just such a slate of totally legendary, incredible filmmakers that we're going to be celebrating, and especially the new filmmakers throughout as well.
Oh, Mike, good luck. Congratulations, Mike Perreault, with the Maine International Film Festival and the Maine Film Center in Waterville. I appreciate you taking time to call in. Katie Hazelton, I'll turn back to you. Are you based in LA these days?
I am, but my whole family is still here in Maine, which is
Well, I was
cool.
just going to ask what it means to you to be back here, and promoting a film that was shot here, your
Yeah,
film.
look, the thing that is so great, this is now the third film that I've worked on in Maine. The first was directed by my husband and his brother, called The Puffy Chair, and that sort of started our career. And we shot part of it actually right where I'm sitting, in my sister's house in Bangor, and then I shot Black Rock, which was in 2010, and we shot that off the coast of Millbridge, which is where I grew up. And That was wild. It was all exteriors on the coast. And I was a little naive and did not take tides into account when I was location scouting. And that is a story I tell when I talk about learning from every experience. That was wild. And also just shooting exteriors in June in Maine was like insane. It was very
so
buggy.
I'm imagining, you haven't told the story, but I'm imagining trying to match action between scenes when the tide's moving is
well, it was also challenge. From location. We would location scout. We location scouted like 2 months prior with the DP, and you pick your locations and this is perfect. And then you go to show up on the day and it's gone. It's under 8 feet of water. And, you know, another one was like, we had a boat planted, like the girls had to get to a boat in the ocean. We also, I put actresses in the ocean to swim. It was a wildly ambitious film. Very proud of it, but crazy. And I would never do that again. So when people talk about shooting in Maine, I'm always just like, make sure your story is supported by it. You don't have, you know, camera houses and stunt people. And that part was very challenging. But like our boat kept on going further and further and further away with the tide. So just funny little logistical things. And then this was great because this now I was like, I know this is my fifth feature. I have some experience. And so we really crafted a story that was supported by the city of Bangor, by the community. And that has been the best experience about all three movies that shot here in Maine is just how incredibly supportive the community is in Los Angeles. I think it's very tricky. People are used to getting paid for everything. If you want to shoot in someone's driveway, that has to be a location that gets paid. Like everything is harder when you're trying to shoot in a city that is used to it. And shooting in Maine has been a dream. The community really rallies together and they're so excited to be a part of it and are so incredibly supportive of it. I have just countless stories on a very short shoot that we had of their time. We shot, you know, for 14 days and it was every step of the way, just one experience nicer than the next.
Well, I have so many more questions for all of you, but I looked at the clock and I have to take a break. We are talking about filmmaking in Maine, and we are speaking with three directors. Give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We're meeting some of the people behind some of the films being made in Maine. And we want to know what you want to know from them. Are you an aspiring filmmaker? My guests are the directors of three of the films being shown at the Maine International Film Festival, which starts tonight. Katie Azleton's film is the kickoff film, Their Town. Ricky Layton's film is Down East Hardcore. And Arabella Oz's film is Mallory's Ghost. Share your comments and questions. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. Ricky, your last film, Candlepin, really featured, shall I say, some of the quirky characters that we find here in Maine, and you have continued that tradition, it seems. Is that because that's what we have here in Maine? What interests you? How does that happen?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I always really appreciate an idea when you mention to somebody and they have no idea and it kind of blows their mind. And that started with Candlepin Bowling. It's like, what is this thing? And the fact that this, you know, really successful music venue existed in the middle of nowhere always blew minds. And the fact that they're Maine-based stories, it just, you know, fell naturally into place. I didn't, you know, I have a lot of respect for like what Arabella and Katie do in terms of that level of narrative video production. It's what I originally aspired to do, but it was, you know, really difficult if you had no money and no help. And so I kind of fell into documentary filmmaking just because of the accessibility. And, you know, I felt maybe a little more ownership over stories from Maine about Maine, you know, experiences that I had growing up and whatnot. So I found a really nice niche there, but there's also so much support, you know, the Maine Community Foundation was very supportive of this documentary, as well as the New Story Theater in Blue Hill. So, you know, I think the key to a lot of those stories is the community that supports the film. I know when I choose a topic that the film subject, that community of people are going to help lift it up, you know.
Gotcha.
And part of it is also kind of doing justice to what, you know, what is theirs.
Enrique,
don't you also feel, can I jump in really
yeah,
quick?
Yeah.
Don't you also feel like if anyone's going to tell the stories of our people, it should be us? Like, if anyone's going to talk about the quirkiness of Maine, it's going to be the people who grew up here.
Absolutely. You got to understand the nuances, right? And
yeah.
you don't want to also go into a project with imposter syndrome, you know, and that's very important. And so, you know, you have a duty, right, to tell this story authentically and, you know, do it in a very honest way that is going to, you know, it's somebody's legacy in your hands, really, right?
I'm glad that you're asking that question, because I know everybody listening right now has had that cringe factor when they see Mainers depicted in a way that's, you know, not right.
The accent, yeah.
The accent, or just the way in which they're crusty, or the way in which they're, yeah. Yeah, so
it should be illegal. I feel like it's so offensive.
Just watch any Stephen King movie from the 90s, and the accents are just atrocious.
Oh my gosh! And Ricky, Katie said she grew up in Millbridge. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Blue Hill on the peninsula. I'm originally from the like Gardner area, and I went to George Stevens in Blue Hill, and that's where I really found my people. And just the area is so beautiful. And actually, my sister lives like up in Millbridge. They work up there, so very familiar with that area. That's such a cool part of Maine.
And Arabella, you weren't lucky enough to grow up in Maine, right? So tell me what it was like as somebody who's worked on films and productions outside of the state to come to Maine and work on a film.
Well, this is my first feature film, so I directed. So
that you directed, but you've acted in other things. Yeah,
I have acted. I have. Yeah, I mean, I think I related to what Katie was saying about the enthusiasm and the ease. We had to like shut down a main street in Portland for our final scene, and during a blizzard, and it was miraculously easy. And it may, you know, making a film, you both of you probably find that like there are so many forks in the road where things can just fall apart. And every time something doesn't fall apart, you're like, oh, wow, that was a miracle. And you just need that extra boost of support and encouragement from the environment that you're working in. And I definitely felt that in Maine. I think also like working outside, you know, I'm also like a therapist and made this film with my husband. And my friend produced it, like kind of similar, wanting to make it outside of the Hollywood or New York film system, because I just found that it was more conducive to my connection with my creativity. You know, like I not thinking about the whole dog eat dog business of the film industry actually allowed us to make something kind of strange and psychological and fun in a way that I felt has been strangled when I tried to make it more inside of the system.
Hmm. And Katie, you're nodding.
Oh yeah. I mean, look, this is our business, particularly right now, is in a really, really tough time, and it's harder than ever to get something done within the system. But I think that gives us a huge amount of freedom outside the system. And then you realize that like, you sort of don't need that system to make a great movie. And it's like, know the rules so you can break them all kind of thing. And then when you start making them that way, you can then sort of feed back in and realize, like, take all the good from making it independently with the people you love, and then start working within the system. It's a great way to start.
Joining us now is Steve Lyons, who's the director of the Maine Film Office, which is in the Department of Community and Economic Development. Steve, welcome back to Maine Calling.
Thank you, Jennifer. Happy to be here.
So how is Maine's film industry doing? It seems to me like it's growing. Is it growing?
Yeah, we're seeing some pretty good growth. We're seeing a lot of interest in the state of Maine. I think to the point that some folks have made, you know, there's just, you know, it's really tough to beat the scenery and the locations here. It's just a place that is so diverse. We have coastal seas and the big mountains, it's really a difficult place to overlook. And so I think people should be looking here. I mean, overall, I think, you know, we're doing pretty well. So far this year, we've seen about $3.5 million of productions registered with the office. You know, that's pretty good. You know, we focus primarily on small independent features for the, you know, in the state primarily. And I've had inquiries from just a number of folks who are shooting productions in the range of about $500,000 to $2 million in that budget range. And that's a good place for Maine to be. We have the crew that can support that really well. And it's just a good budget area to attract, and it's also an area that maybe isn't getting quite as much attention. I mean, oftentimes you hear about an independent film, but that might be a $10 million film. You know, we're talking about films that are up in the $500,000 to $2 million range that might get overlooked. And there's, as is the case with many of the productions that you might see up at the International Film Festival, you know, you would miss a lot of great content if you did that.
Mm. Steve, I'm going to put you on pause, and I'm going to turn to our filmmakers here, since you're all in the same place, kind of, right now, and ask you all, Ricky, Katie, and Arabella, what would you say to Steve about what was great about filming in Maine, or what you would like to see Maine do in the future? I'll start with you, Katie.
Oh, well, I mean, to Steve's point, you turn a camera on, and you have a beautiful frame. Like there's something so special about not only just the scenery, but the light in Maine. Like the light along the coast is so gorgeous. Like we shot in November in Bangor, it was just crisp and crunchy, and you could feel it on screen. It was really, really special. I would say just, if I were to ask for anything, gosh, that's exciting. I don't know. We had a real seamless shoot. You know, Black Rock was harder. If you could control the bugs.
There you go, Steve. Control the bugs.
Yeah. That was my big complaint. If you could make it a little less buggy in June, I'd be here all the time.
Arabella, how about you?
You know, I wish we had gone more through the Maine office. This was such a, we just didn't know how to navigate the system. So it's more for what I will do differently next time, is be more embedded and seek out more support from, it sounds like, you know, the infrastructure that already exists in Maine for independent filmmakers.
And Ricky?
Yeah, I think it's not really for the Maine film office, but you know, for the people of Maine, like, in, you see all these towns going through like a budget crisis and having a hard time focusing on that stuff. The support of the nonprofit organizations and funding for film projects or art projects is so important. And like, my project would not exist if it wasn't for that. And so I think, you know, just to remember that aspect of how that money is dispersed to artists in the state of Maine is really, you know, important and beneficial to, I think, everybody, especially a lot of these communities.
Well, Steve, is there anything in the pipeline you're especially excited about that you're allowed to tell us about?
Well, I don't know if I can't give you specific names and titles, obviously, but there are some things. I've had several conversations with a number of independent, you know, low-budget independent films. There's a romantic comedy that's set in Maine. I've got a live-action movie based on an Italian fairy tale that they want to shoot in Maine. That would probably be a winter shoot. Another drama based in western Maine. There's another drama located on an isolated island with a lighthouse that has some potential. And of course, there's always the horror movie that, you know, we get a lot of interest about shooting horror movies in Maine. And I don't know if that's the Stephen King feel or what that people are looking for, but we do get a lot of interest in shooting horror films here. And then I have a couple of screenwriters that have some great storylines that they've presented to me, but they're still kind of in development, looking for producers, directors to support them. And of course, we have, you know, right now, we have had a couple of documentary films that just wrapped in the $300,000 to $400,000 range that were shot here in Maine. And of course, we have Maine Cabin Masters. They just completed their first season of what they call Maine Cabin Masters All In, where they renovated an inn in Monmouth, Maine. That was a little off base from what they normally do in the cabin space. And to throw a little plug in there, that actually is going to premiere on Sunday, July 19th on the HGTV network. So that's coming right up. So we're really excited to see that when it comes on TV.
All right. Well, Steve, thanks so much for calling in. Steve Lyons is director of the Maine Film Office. Now we have Kelly.
The other for your listeners, the exciting thing about having films come to Maine is also what it injects into a community. You instantly have anywhere from like 12 to 80 people coming in. It's so exciting for just the local economy. Even a film on our small scale, like it really just, it does become, it's a cool incentive on the other side of things as well.
Yeah, between people who are feeding the cast to housing the cast.
Catering, housing, all kinds of services. Like it's really, it's a very collaborative experience.
Yeah, and not just the money, but just the fun of having this happening.
The energy
of it. Yeah.
Totally.
I'm going to turn now to Kelly Goodrow, who's calling from Dexter. And Kelly, I heard that you are still in high school and are a filmmaker. Are you there, Kelly?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're in, tell us about yourself. You are in high school and you are, or in college?
So I'm in college. I graduated 2 years ago, but I started this documentary project called Rural Dreams when I was 17. So I was going into my senior year here at high school. And I was approached by the Maine Highlands Working Communities Challenge, and they helped, fund this project. Me, along with other teenagers around my age, 17 at the time, and teens who have continuously worked on this over the past 3 years. And it's a film that takes place in the Penobscot and Piscataquis counties around the areas of Dexter, Dover Foxcroft, Milo, Guilford, Garland, these really small rural communities. And it's a documentary about the rural youth in those communities in rural Maine made by them. And I think that doing this project is especially meaningful because we're telling our own story. And I heard talk about this on the show a little bit earlier, but, instead of an outside filmmaker coming into our towns and explaining what our life is like, we're sharing our own experiences that are often underrepresented or misrepresented in media. So it's all about exploring those strengths and challenges within our communities. How our towns were once thriving through like the industrialism to now the broken economies and loss of opportunity that we're facing here in rural Maine. And I'm just so glad that we have been given this opportunity, because I think like the loss of opportunity that we're facing economically here, young filmmakers are also facing above the Augusta line. I feel like most filmmaking in Maine takes below the Augusta line in Portland area, and being able to showcase rural Maine and everything north of that has been an awesome experience, both technically and growing our skills throughout the years.
Kelly, what is your film going to be titled? Do you know yet? And when does it come out?
It's called Rural Dreams, and it's comes out on September 12th, 2026. It will be premiered in Dover Foxcroft at the Center Theater at 7 p.m. Invitation is open to anybody, and there'll be more information getting out on how you can get your tickets. Those who want to learn more about it can find us at ruraldreamsthefilm.com.
Congratulations, and I have to ask you, has this sparked a dream? Are you going to be a filmmaker now?
Yes, I would love to. I'm currently studying communications and media arts and have been working in film at college. So, yeah, it sparked a dream in high school, and I've just been following that dream ever since.
All right. So, Kelly, we have three filmmakers on the show. I'm putting you on the spot here. Do you have a question? Any questions for some experienced filmmakers?
Yeah, I think, I mean, a question that me and my fellow peers have been talking about, you know, as filmmakers who have helped kind of shape film community, main film community, how do you envision expanding those opportunities beyond our southern areas and more into rural Maine? And what would you say to give us more experience or help us grow that way?
I'll jump in really quick. I mean, look, I think the really exciting thing is how accessible technology is to all of us now. It's no longer like, do you need this very expensive, very fancy camera and the very fancy, expensive microphones? Like, it is all sort of at your fingertips. We're all holding a camera in our hands at all times. And so I would just say, keep making things. Keep making things on a small level. You work out how you want to do it, and you can make very cheap mistakes that way. You learn very cheap lessons every time, and you take it with you to the next one. And then, you know, like I said, you're not going to mess up the Tide thing next time because you've done it already. And so I would say, build your community, build your filmmaking community around you. You create it. And just keep it, it snowballs. It really will. Like, and the people, you'll learn who you like to work with, and you learn how you like to work and the stories you want to tell. And you can keep making things cheaply until you start making them really, really well. And then you're going to have more opportunities, regardless of where you live.
Yeah. I'd also chime in too, like, some advice I got early on was to always have a project lined up for, you know, the next thing. And sometimes it's hard to be in that headspace because you're so ingrained in the production, but it, I think, kind of keeps you accountable for continuing to work on the craft, and you're capitalizing off of the momentum from your current project. So that team of people you worked with on this one is only going to be bigger on the next one. And it doesn't even mean you necessarily have to pursue that next project. It kind of just keeps you in the running and part of that network.
And I'll just say, maybe just to add on, like, no matter where you're living and what your ambitions are, I have a kind of personal philosophy that, like, your life experiences are the rites of passage to allow you to hold the stories that you're meant to be telling in the world. And so to kind of take that framework to your life, like, okay, why am I experiencing what I'm seeing? Why am I seeing what I'm seeing? Like, what are the stories that are kind of coming to me and through me? And trusting that to be like, okay, that's my initiation to be the story holder that I am. It sounds like you're already doing that. But that's kind of, yeah, how I approach.
Yeah. And to Arabella's point earlier, like, there is no, everyone makes up this. The system is a series of made up rules. Like, you get to make up your own rules as you go along. Like, you don't, it doesn't have to look exactly like a Hollywood production, like, would look like. You get to create how you want to make a movie.
Well, so, like, my film subject is literally about, like, teenage angst in rural Maine, and I needed footage of angsty teenagers in the 2000s, so I just digitized my own home movies because I grew up that way. So, you know, I was centered in that core of the story, which is what you're talking about. And I think that also gives you ownership over the material, right? You have that conviction for it, and that's really important.
Kelly, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck. Kelly Goudreau, one of the filmmakers behind the project Rural Dreams, which will debut in September in Dover Foxcroft. We're going to take another quick break. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we're talking about filmmaking in Maine. Joining me, Ricky Layton, who's the director of Down East Hardcore, Katie Azleton, director of Their Town, and Arabella Oz, director of Mallory's Ghost. If you're quick, you can join the conversation, a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go to Elise, who's calling from Rockland. Hi, Elise, go ahead.
Oh, hi there, guys. So nice to join you this morning. I'm in Rockland, Maine. I'm the executive director of the Camden International Film Festival, which is a little bit different to some of the other callers because it's all documentaries. So that's it takes place in September from the 17th to the 20th. And we don't officially announce our lineup until the beginning of August, but I can tell you that Maine and Maine filmmakers are going to be featured prominently at the festival this year. We've got some great films that we've seen and selected. We've had more submissions this year than ever before, which is great because we also have a Dirigo Docs short film program. So that's featuring filmmakers that are based in Maine and stories about Maine. And we also work with the Maine Film Office to host a New England filmmakers reception where, you know, filmmakers can from the region can get together, meet each other, build, you know, new collaborative relationships. You might find your next producer or your next composer at one of our receptions, and they also get to share work with each other. So it's a great weekend. It's an international film festival, so we obviously have people from all over the world showing their work, but we also really try to shine a spotlight on filmmakers based in and from Maine. And we're so lucky because we've got, you know, Salt Institute just down the road, and, you know, so many colleges just producing incredibly wonderful, creative filmmakers. So it is so rich to be running a film festival and a whole actually film institute that, you know, grows and nurtures new and emerging talent. So you can probably tell I'm not from Maine. Either that or I'm from such a rural part of Maine that you've never heard this accent before. But I've landed here and I'm very happy to have done so.
Well, Elise, thanks so much for calling in. When you were talking, Ricky was nodding and smiling. Ricky, is the Camden International Film Festival a regular stop for you?
I mean, we're hoping we applied to it this year. We haven't heard yet. We're, you know, very honored that Maine International Film Festival is kind of the first one up. It's provided such a really cool experience. And, you know, we have some hopes for things to come. But, you know, it's really special to be able to show a Maine film in Maine. And that's just celebrating, you know, what it takes.
Elise, thanks for calling in. Let's see. We've got Louise Rosen calling in, co-president of the Maine Film Association. Hi, Louise.
Hello there. Thanks so much for having me on. I just wanted to share with the audience and with your filmmakers there that the Maine Film Association is nearing completion of an economic impact study on the film industry in Maine. It's been funded by a grant from the Department of Economic and Community Development and the Maine Film Office. And we conducted a statewide survey. We're developing a report that provides information on the current state of the film industry and will help guide state policy going forward, including refreshed and updated film production incentives. In the last legislative session, an updated incentives package actually passed both the House and the Senate, but did not make it out of the Appropriations Committee. Based on our review of the data that we've gathered, will be a very compelling report that new incentives will make it through legislative session.
Louise, when is the report expected out?
It will be launched on July 28th at Mast Landing, 5:30. Everyone is welcome, both MFA members and non-members. You can find more information on our website, mainefilm.org. And look forward to seeing a big cross-section of people at the event. We will have the consultant who developed the report, Ryan Wallace from Wallace Economic Advisors, will be making a presentation.
All right, Louise, thank you so much for calling in. Louise Rosen is co-president of the Maine Film Association. I'm going to go back to something you were saying, Ricky, which is kind of funny because you started the show saying that after Candlepin, you weren't going to do another project. But then the advice you just gave to Callie was always have your next project cooking. So now I have to ask you, what's your next project?
So I have a, like, it's a very personal piece about my family. My mom's side of the family, there was 11 siblings that grew up in Pittston, Maine, and they had a family country band that they were all a part of. And it's got all the, you know, checks off all the boxes for me. It's got a really great aesthetic of like classic country, as well as like rural Maine. So that's probably going to be a long-term project, more archival in nature.
Home movies, I hope.
Yes, lots of old school footage. You know, sometimes you think you know what to expect, but then life kind of pulls you in a different direction. And I think filmmaking is very much a part of that, right? Like you get burned out on things, but like you have to do it. There's no other choice. Like this is the only option.
Okay, Arabella, tell us when we can see Mallory's Ghost and tell us what your next project is.
So Mallory's Ghost is playing in Waterville on the 17th and the 18th, 17th at 1 p.m. and the 18th at 6 p.m. I think we still have tickets available. And it's really, for anyone who likes comedy, like psychology, has experienced jealousy in a relationship, or whose partner has experienced jealousy in a relationship, it's a film that really digs underneath the surface of what jealousy actually is in terms of a relationship with yourself. And it keeps digging until it gets to some pretty surreal places. So we'd love to see you there.
All right.
I made the...
Go ahead.
Yeah, and next, my husband Nick and I, who co-starred in Mallory's Ghost, are writing another script that leans heavily into our comedy. We have we're kind of online comedy short form content makers. So you can check us out on Instagram, Nick Kanalakis or Arabella Oz, or follow Mallory's Ghost on Instagram. But yeah, our next film is gonna play more into that comedy, but also we can't help but like try and figure out life through our movies also. So we're trying to explore some themes about creativity and the cost of, like you were saying, Ricky, like the cost of pursuing your creative dreams, even when it's sacrificing more than maybe you have to spend.
Katie, tonight, you're the opening film. Is it sold out?
I honestly don't know.
Okay. All right. So their town's
tonight. Show up. We'll have a good time. If you can't get in, I'll hang out with you during the movie. I'll talk you through what it's about.
Well, what's your next project?
Great question. I have a couple TV pitches that I'm developing, which is exciting. Who knows? It's a little bit more out of your control. And then I've got some jobs coming up as an actor, which is exciting.
And are those back in California?
Those are back in California, but I look forward to being back here in Maine. I want to shoot. I would shoot everything here if I could.
Well, let me ask you, you know, how do you all do it? How do you jump from project to project? And Katie, I'm going to go back to you, live with this not knowing.
Yeah, we're like sharks. We just have to keep swimming forward or we die.
It's like this weird thing. I find after Mallory's Ghost, I was like, I need to take a break. And then I took a break and I found that I couldn't sleep because I just woke up with this like existential panic in the middle of the night. And I was like, oh, this is because I'm not working on a script. Like I actually can't stop. My brain just starts to eat itself.
Yeah. There's something wrong with our brains.
I just bought a book called How to Do Nothing. I haven't read it yet, but...
we had the author of that on the show. I have a feeling it's not going to help you, Ricky. No offense, but
it's worth a shot.
just speaking from personal experience, it didn't help me much. But anyway, it's been such a joy to have all of you on the program, and I wish you the best of luck with your projects. And for the audience, the Maine International Film Festival starts tonight. We heard from folks at the Camden International Film Festival, which that is in September. So no shortage of wonderful films to see in Maine about Maine in the near future. The guest today on the program, Arabella Oz, the director of Mallory's Ghost, Katie Azleton, the director of Their Town, which will be featured tonight, and Ricky Layton, the director of Down East Hardcore. These are three of 22 films at the Maine International Film Festival this coming week. 22 Maine-based films, a lot more films than that total. Today's sound engineer was Sam Tracy. Our theme song was composed by Mike Jandro. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. As always, you can subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. You just go to mainecalling.org to subscribe. It will tell you every Friday afternoon what's coming up next week. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you have been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.